Today on Dog Pound Report, we get sights and sounds from this week's veteran minicamp, get the latest on the Browns' elite defensive unit, and we break down the Browns' wide receivers in our position spotlight. This is Dog Pound Report.
Welcome to Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin. He is Nathan Zagura, and it has been a while since I've seen you. I missed you while I was doing Cavaliers.
I know, I missed you too. You're going around with the Cavs. A great season that they had, ultimately falling a little bit short there in the NBA Finals. They were just kind of outgunned with all the injuries, but a great season. I hope you had fun kind of going bi-coastal here.
It was good. You know what, though? The best part about it was great for the city, and I think that
Absolutely.
We saw this city at its finest. And I also think that when we see how great Cavalier fans were in the queue, I just multiply that by 50, and you can have the same thing for the Browns. Just get a couple wins, everything's good.
You know, it's funny. I was walking out of the game after they lost Game 6, and everybody's like, all right, it's Browns season now. Let's go Browns. Go Browns. So people are fired up about it. And the other great thing you talked about for the city of Cleveland, everybody who's a basketball fan knows East 4th. So everybody who comes to Cleveland now is going to want to go hang out on East 4th. So I thought that was a good thing for the city.
And it was great to see Joe Hayden and a bunch of the guys, Joe Thomas over there. All right, let's get into this week's trending topics. This past week, Veterans Minicamp, the last week of practice or the last practice before summer break. What did you see?
Tell you what, this was good because the offense was really trailing the defense, I thought, in the OTAs. They stepped up, though. Josh McCown had his best practices of the season in this minicamp. The offense was able to score in the red zone. They were able to put points on the board. Now, the defense, they're excellent. And this secondary, making the case to be the best in the NFL. A lot of interceptions. Justin Gilbert, Kawan Williams, Pierre Desir, Deontay Saunders. Deep, talented group there in the secondary. But really, it's just about, to me, it's about the offense and what you can take away from what John DeFilippo is trying to do. He's going to do pre-snap motion. He's going to try to make defenses get into rule-breaking situations. Line up a fullback all the way outside on the corner so you can have your better receiver in the slot on a safety. All these things and motions to get mismatches and take advantage of what they have now, which is speed. You see Taylor Gabriel get deep there. We've seen Andrew Hawkins with his short area quickness. And the other guy, Duke Johnson, is going to be a force for this team out of the backfield catching the football.
How much smoother does it feel when you've got a coach who's in his second year and now he knows the ropes? He's been here for 12 months. He gets it, and I think for Mike Pettine, it's the comfort and the knowing of, hey, this is my team, and here we go.
Oh, yeah, and he didn't even know what he didn't know last year, so he thinks looking back on it, it's light years ahead of where they were, and I think he feels that as a coach. I think he feels that way about his staff, which most of them are in the second year, some new offensive guys, but for the most part, the defensive staff's intact. Some of the guys stayed on the offense, Wilbur Montgomery. Of course, the offensive line coach is Andy Moeller, and George DeLeon and the tight end coach Brian Jangelico. So they do feel pretty good about where they are. And yes, progress. And you can see it. Everything's smoother. Practice is smoother. Everybody knows where to be. They know their job. It just looks better overall.
All right, you saw a little video of Danny Shelton there. And Danny Shelton came back to Cleveland after graduating from Washington. He hit the field for his first practices with the veterans. And this draft pick is ready to roll.
I had a lot of family, and, you know, at the same time, I wanted to be back here with my Cleveland family. But it was something I had to do, you know. You know, my mom was really happy that I was making a choice to, you know, attend all my graduations. And then, you know, at the same time, seeing my family and being there with my friends, my teammates, to graduate with them was an awesome feeling.
All right, I'm excited that Danny Shelton's out there. Look, he graduated. He got back out on the field to go play with his new teammates. I was on a radio station in Seattle over the week just talking about the Cavaliers, and my last question for him was Danny Shelton. And the guy was glowing through the radio just talking about how big he is and how fast he is and what kind of energy he's going to bring to this team. You saw it on the field firsthand.
Oh, it's great to see him out there, and congratulations to him on getting his degree, finishing up at the University of Washington. Biological anthropology was one of the finals he had to take.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, that's easy stuff there. So, no, great to see him out there. What stands out to you is the absolute girth of this man. There are some big guys on this team. No one is as big as Danny Shelton, and yet the speed, the quickness, the toughness about him, and he's got the smarts as well. Jim O'Neill said they threw everything at him in the playbook. He had one mental error over 3 days. That's incredibly impressive. Randy Starks, we had him on Cleveland Browns Daily this week. He was impressed with Danny Shelton. He said he's so strong, yet so quick, and a guy who's just going to plug the middle. It's going to be great. When you say you're going to stop the run, you talk about getting it tattooed everywhere. Danny Shelton is going to help the Browns do just that.
Time to go buy a 71 jersey, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, and of course, everyone was talking about it this week. Quarterback Johnny Manziel talking to the media for the first time since the season ended.
You know, moving forward, you know, my focus is on football. This is what I'm here to do. This is what I love to do. And, you know, that's what I'm here to talk about today, guys. So, you know, my private life and what goes on, you know, that's documented about how I think enough. So for me today, I'm sitting here and eager to talk about the 2015 Cleveland Browns. You know, what we have this year and what we have in this locker room moving forward. You know, really the goals and what we want to do, you know, this season. You know, that's really my focus. Everything else, you know, I'm trying to really close a chapter on my life and move forward.
Really what you want to hear from a Browns quarterback. He's coming across as focused as ever, dismissing past discretions, moving forward.
They said last year was a nightmare. It did not go how he wanted it to. He's had to look in the mirror. He's gone and gotten himself some help, and now he wants to focus on football. He wants everybody to think of him as a football player. There will be no more Johnny Football. There will be no more money sign. That's done. It's going to be about learning this offense and coming along. And I can say this. Josh McCown is clearly the starter. But Johnny Manziel, from day one of OTAs to where he was when they left on Thursday, ending with minicamp, made significant improvement. And I think that has to be one of the most encouraging things, because if he can get his life together off the field, you get an opportunity to see if he can make it on the field. And I think we saw tremendous progress, again, from day one of OTAs to the last day of minicamp, and that's something that I was very happy to see.
Let's talk about the most important thing. What does he need to do in training camp to compete for the starting job?
He needs to come out and just be lights out. First of all, he's got to get through the summer period,
right,
being smart, staying out of the media, which I think he knows. And then he's got to come in and continue to learn. It's not about physical talent. He's got the arm strength. He's got the talent. It's about being able to read defenses, make decisions quickly from the pocket. And when he can do that, he's going to be able to compete, because the physical gifts are there. Right now, Josh McCown's just light years ahead of him because he's comfortable in this offense. He's been in the league for over a decade. He understands what it is to play football, and he looks good. And that's a good thing. There isn't the pressure on Johnny Manziel. Come along at your pace and get those reps. He's still getting plenty of reps, and learn and develop on how to be a quarterback who can win from the pocket in the National Football League.
I think everybody wants him to be the quarterback of the future. He's got to take the first steps right now. And I think from a fan's perspective, I think if he just approach this as his first season.
I was going to say
rookie year. Approach it as his first season.
In many ways, he is a rookie right now. Last year was a little bit of a blur and a little bit of a waste, and it's unfortunate. But the good news is, with a first round pick, you can always pick up that fifth year option. So you've got him here for four more years, and Johnny Manziel just needs to keep making the progress I saw from day one of OTAs to the end of minicamp.
Moving forward, I think that's the theme there. In fact, we're moving forward. We've got a lot more Dog Pound Report coming your way right after this.
After the break, we hear from head coach Mike Pettine and defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill. And later in the show, we break down your Cleveland Browns receiving core.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Joining us right now, the Browns head writer on Browns.com. That's Andrew Gribble.
The Gribbs.
Being here, we're excited to have you.
What's going on? Nice to see you back here.
Well, you're what's going on. What did you see at minicamp?
Well, you know, I think the big change from OTAs to minicamp for me was it just seemed like the offense was clicking a little bit better. And I think the big thing that had to do with that is that they weren't installing anymore. 90% of this offense has been installed, and they were kind of going over maybe some of the things they did best. We saw a lot of downfield passes from Josh McCown. I think we saw some more holes opening up in the running game. It just seemed the guys were more comfortable, and I think that the defense is still playing at a high level, but this offense was just in a better spot than it was a few weeks ago.
It certainly was, and some of the new additions, Duke Johnson, Dwayne Bowe, certainly stood out there. Now, I sat down with Coach Mike Pettine earlier this week for an exclusive interview about his impressions of this offseason, specifically the minicamp, and here's what he had to say about the last few weeks.
Encouraged, cautiously optimistic. I think we had a very productive spring. That we made several changes to the roster. I feel we've improved our depth dramatically. We've gotten healthy, or at least healthier. I feel good about that. Headed towards training camp. So there's plenty of reasons to be optimistic, but at the same time, know that while we like where we are, there's a lot of work will have to be done between now and the opener for us to accomplish what we want to accomplish.
All right, clearly, I mean, we're months away from the season. I mean, he's optimistic. I think everybody's got to be optimistic at this point. And now everyone's together, and as you said, everything starts to feel like it's going to work.
Yeah, for a team that got kind of nationally criticized early in free agency, this team still added a lot of players on this roster. There's a lot of new faces. They even made some moves during the OTA portion, bringing in some free agents, letting other guys go. So there's a new feel to this group, and they need some time on the field together. And I think that's why you saw, especially on the offense, that the more the new faces got to work with these guys, the better they felt, the more comfortable potential the bullet was. Rob Hausler at tight end, he looked more comfortable, like a deep threat kind of guy. And then just all these rookies, these guys who've been here for a month now, they've been in the building as much as they're allowed to be, and they're not looking at maybe as much as rookies as they did maybe a few weeks ago.
Let's not forget, there are significant additions to this roster. You drafted 12 guys. You brought in a bunch of veterans, some that you mentioned there, to come in and contribute. Rob Hausler, Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline just on the offense alone, Randy Starks, Tremont Williams on defense. And then you go out and you continue with the specialists. You bring in an Andy Lee. You change over your long snapper. You're going to have a new kicker ultimately going into this season. So a lot of moving parts. And ESPN Insider actually ranked the rosters. And last year they had the Browns at 24. This year, 14. So they've made significant improvements. There will be a lot of depth. And the competitions we're going to see in training camp to make this team are going to be unbelievable.
It's not just new guys to have new guys. These are new guys that are going to have significant roles, whether it be that Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline at wide receiver, Tremont Williams at cornerback, and then these rookies. It goes beyond the first-round picks. Duke Johnson's going to have a significant role. Nate Orchard's going to have a significant role. Even Ibrahim Campbell, you know, whether it be on special teams or at safety, he's going to have a significant role in this team.
All right, make sure that you watch next week's Inside the Cleveland Browns for that entire interview with Coach Pettine. Now, Coach O'Neill also spoke this week, and he's talking about what the team is looking like on the defensive side of the ball. Here's what he had to say.
I can't be more proud of where we're at as a defense. I think the guys have done a great job on and off the field, and I really think we've taken a jump defensively compared to where we were at this point last year. The attendance has been great. The guys' attention to detail in the meeting room has been great. Their work ethic on the practice field has been great. And as a coaching staff, what we stress to them is today does not represent the end of the offseason. We have 5 more weeks of hard work left, and our defense needs to do a great job in these next 5 weeks, continuing to work hard, continuing to stay in the playbook, and they know when they come back for training camp, we need to start on fire.
And, Andrew, in most cases, the defense is always ahead of the offense, but are these guys going to walk away with tattoos that say stop the run?
Yeah, I mean, it's been emphasized nonstop from basically since the offseason began. And the hard part is it's just so hard to gauge where it is because they're not hitting each other very much right now. They're not even in pads. But I guess it really is about alignment. And I think that was a big issue last year. They feel better about that position. I think Carlos Dansby in the middle of that defense really helps you out there. And I think the focus on the defensive line, too, just so many new bodies and guys that they're comfortable using. And I think all the rotations, that they feel like they're going to be fresh against the run this year, too.
They're going to be able to come in waves. You've added so many good players. Starks, the veteran, Cooper and Shelton, the rookies. At guys coming back healthy, John Hughes, Phil Taylor, Billy Wynn, Armani Bryant. So a lot of depth there. And the other thing that stands out is just how good and deep the secondary is. I think it is the best secondary in the National Football League. We've seen Kaywan Williams continue to play well. Pierre Desir making big leaps. Justin Gilbert's making a big leap. And the one sleeper guy, you've talked about him before, Gribbs, Deontay Saunders, a safety out of the University of Florida, had a little bit of a circuitous route to the NFL after that stint down there. But he's looked excellent so far. 2 big picks earlier this week.
All right, good to hear all those things. But, you know, one of the things I think is kind of fun about minicamp is that you don't have that hardcore, rigid feeling that it's like September or October. And the guys had a little team building this past week, and they did a little bit of paintball.
Yeah, you know, it was going to be the 10th OTA. It would have been the 4th of that week. So it was kind of a perfect opportunity to get away from the building, a little bit of a lighter exercise for this group. But, you know, it was kind of a team building exercise, but a lot of fun, not your standard team building. I talked to Joel Bitonio about it. He said he was basically a walking target. There's different variances of experience on this team. I heard Billy Wynn and Ryan Seymour are pretty good, and they happen to be on Mike Pettine's team. But it just seemed like everyone enjoyed it, and this probably won't be the last time they do it.
Yeah, Mike Pettine's a master strategist on the football field and in the paintball arena. He said 3 players asked if they could bring their own guns. He said, yeah, you're going to be on my team. You guys must be pretty good.
All right, what's coming up on the mobile app?
Well, you know, we're just going to keep we banked a lot of stories from all these interviews we've done over the last couple weeks. We don't have the players in the building, but we're going to keep churning out stories as if they still are.
All right, Andrew Gribble, the Gribbs, stopping by. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. All right, we'll be right back with more Dog Pound Report. Stick around.
Coming up next, our exclusive interview with the star of the offseason, Taylor Gabriel.
Plus, our social post of the week.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. We're joined by Cleveland Browns Daily's own Matt Wilhelm.
Well,
Matt,
if it isn't Monfrere.
How are you guys? Good to be here.
You okay? You a little under the weather?
I'm doing well.
I hear your voice. You're having
a little bit. It's tough. You know what? I talk on the radio for a living.
Yeah, that's good. You know, neither one of us seem to have that problem. Just you, by yourself.
No. He's just getting away. He's getting broken in.
All right. In this week's position spotlight, we are breaking down the wide receiving core. And you guys had a chance this week to talk a little bit about the wide receivers on the show. And Cleveland Browns Daily is where we all heard it. Taylor Gabriel. Here's what he had to say about the wideouts.
I mean, they're all coaches, man. Just a heartline, just something as simple as route running. He's a technical route runner, and I can always just steal something from him. After every play, we're always talking about what could have been better with this release, that release. And when it comes to Dwayne Bowe, he's a dog, man. And just little things as late hands when you're coming up for the ball. Just something as simple as that. I'm just picking their brains with I mean, they have plenty of experience in the NFL, so anything I can get from them guys, I want to get.
All right, when you dig into the wide receivers, I look back to the beginning of last year where nationally people were saying, who's going to catch the ball for the Browns? Now I look at this team and I look at the free agents they picked up in the offseason. I feel good about the wide receivers.
You definitely have to. It's very clear who our playmakers are. We went out, sought out, and got Brian Hartline, got Dwayne Bowe from Kansas City. You figure you can add Andrew Hawkins back to his number three inside slot receiver. And the guy we just heard from, Taylor Gabriel, what we've seen all OTAs and minicamp from him has been highly impressive. No DB can cover him, and he's going to add that chunk yardage aspect to this offense that allows you to throw the football down the field.
Yeah, Taylor Gabriel last year, 17.1 yards a catch, third best in the NFL. He has been the best wide receiver so far for the Browns. The DBs, Coach Pettine has said it. I've heard other DB coaches talk about it. They don't like going against him because he creates so much separation. He can make you look bad on tape. He's been fantastic. You draft Vince Maley out of Washington State at 106 catches last year, six games over 100 yards. Physically very impressive. We had that thumb surgery, so we haven't seen him catch the ball. We will in training camp. But the other guy who's really stood out to me is Rodney Smith.
Yes.
6'5", different body than any of the other receivers on this roster, has made some big plays, high-pointing the football. He's done well. But ultimately, it's going to come down to Rodney Smith, Travis Benjamin, who's been here, been a mainstay. Can he do enough in the return game to justify a spot? And Marlon Moore, a special teams ace. So when you're a team that's going to play a lot of defense and you bring in Andy Lee, who can boom the ball, you need to have good gunners. Marlon Moore and Batty were as good as any two gunners in the NFL last year.
Let's go back to this, though. Dwayne Bowe. I mean, how was he? This is where you set the stage. When you're a veteran that's coming into a new team, this is where you really make your mark, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And you heard Taylor Gabriel talk about what he's learning from some of those veteran, savvy guys that have played in this league, you know, five-plus years, Hartline and Dwayne Bowe. Dwayne Bowe's, you're not going to see that, you know, 80 catch, 1,000-plus yard season like you've seen in Kansas City. But I think 50 catches, 750 yards, a big target in the red zone. And Nathan and I talk about all the time the role that Miles Austin kind of played for this football team. You know, we called him Money Miles for a reason because all he did was convert first down after first down. I think Dwayne Bowe and Brian Hartline, as vets, will do that for this offense.
Don't you think, though, that Bowe only having one touchdown last year, that's got to be such inspiration for him to get back in the end zone more than once this year?
He didn't even have a touchdown last year. The Chiefs didn't throw a single touchdown to a wide receiver. He is giddy to get into the end zone, and that's what he's going to be, exactly as you said, a rich man's Miles Austin. Move the chains, get it done in the red zone. We talked about Taylor Gabriel getting separation. Dwayne Bowe's going to catch a lot of passes. He's not going to be open on very many of them. He knows how to use his body and high point the football and make catches even when he's covered.
All right, just your experience with minicamp and how important it is and what it means for this team when you move into a season, especially because, I mean, you played on teams with veterans, teams that knew how to win. What has to be established in a minicamp before you have 6 weeks off?
It's the refinement that happens in minicamp. As Andrew Gribble talked about earlier, the fact that there was no installation going on in this 3 days. It was taking everything they had learned in those nine, packing it into 3 days, and seeing it executed at an extremely high level. The tempo was cranked up. There was more pressure. Of course, the music's bumping out there. And as we saw, as you guys talked about earlier as well, Josh McCown stood up as a leader, made the throws, and the offense finally took that one huge step.
Yep.
They seem to be a step behind in OTAs. They took a big step forward in this minicamp.
How much important is that for their confidence when they come back and get into training camp?
Oh, it's huge. And I'm sure these guys will have exchanged numbers. They'll cross-reference their notes as they watch film for upcoming opponents and just look to build continuity as they get into training camp. They're going to know who they're rooming with to know exactly what they're going to go into so that the bond is built by the time September gets here.
Matt, what's the most important part for a player who's got to go off for 6 weeks and walk away from this for a little bit? What do you say to a guy? Just, hey, you got to keep it clean, go on vacation. I mean, I worry about that because you got guys that are conditioned,
sure,
they're into the playbook, and they're ready to go.
We talked about it today on Cleveland Browns Daily. Have a plan. The veterans on this team, the leaders on this team want to win. Joe Thomas wants to go to the playoffs. Alex Mack you know, it's his career here in Cleveland might depend on the success of this football team. So they're setting a template of what your next 30 to 35 days are going to look like. It's going to, of course, include some downtime with your family, maybe a little bit of travel, not too much. Stay out of the clubs, stay out of the bars, but get to work in the morning, get in that playbook. And as I said, communication between teammates via FaceTime, texting, calling, cross-referencing notes on what they're seeing as they dive in just gets you to know as a leader on this team and as a coach that their head is wrapped around football and consuming them even when they're away from the building.
And that's what you always hear for champions. I always say, well, right. You know what? Even when we're off, we're still talking.
We are.
Trying to figure this out months ago during the summer. Matt, thank you very much.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
All right, appreciate it. We will be right back with more Dog Pound Report after this.
When we return, check out who visited the team in Berea with our social post of the week.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. This week's social post of the week comes from the WWE superstar Summer Rae, Jerry the King Lawler, and the primetime players. They visited Berea to work out at the Browns practice facility and mingle with the players. Man, you had to be the happiest guy on Lou Groza Boulevard.
I loved it. It was good to see them in the facility and then took in Monday Night Raw at the Q later that night. The primetime players, the tag team champions, worked out in Berea, went and defended their title successfully. And there was a nice Browns presence there. Craig Robertson, Barkevious Mingo, big play Gary Barnage was there along with Johnny Manziel. And they got to be a little bit of a part of the show. Johnny Manziel was called out by the champion. The WWE champion, Seth Rollins, had some choice words for him. And then there was a big Gary Barnage chant that broke out in the arena, which was good. Probably because he's a big play gear type of a guy. And, of course, he was on Total Divas with two of the WWE Divas vying for his affections.
And they were doing the chant. The Gary Barnage.
Gary Barnage.
Very nice. Hey, before we go, we want to say happy Father's Day.
Yes, there's no greater gift on this earth than being a father. So I just want to say I love you, Arden. I love you, Bryce. And also to my dad, Pedro, thank you so much. I was able to get him in town as an early Father's Day gift. He's a Warriors fan from the Bay Area. Sorry, folks. Come in to Game 6 and get to see his team win the title. So it was pretty good early Father's Day for old Pedro.
Very nice. We're going to have a big day today. We're going to do a little cookout. And I just want to say happy Father's Day to my favorite kids on earth. That would be my kids, Bryn and Blake. So happy Father's Day. Thanks for making it a great day. Also, want to thank my dad as well. Take me to practice at 5 o'clock in the morning and pulling my thumbs out when I would hit a helmet. That's it for the show. Take us home, my friend.
Remember, we bark together on the Dog Pound Report. Happy Father's Day, Cleveland.